Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? You already know what it is. This is a PSA exclusive. We have Joel Ortiz, Yawa himself, Slaughterhouse, calling up. I'm here joined with my brother, Three Letter Man, Dre. What's good, man?
What's poppin', man? It's your boy, Three Letter Man. What's good out here, man? PSA, what's good?
Man, this is what we're doing here, man. We got Joel calling up. I personally feel like before he does, to kind of talk about this really quick.
Okay.
We have the trailer from URL that dropped, Head Ice, K-Shine. What'd you think about it when you saw it?
Well, first of all, I thought this was a weird matchup to keep it all the way live and shit. You know what I mean? But the trailer, I'm going to give it to Head Ice.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. We're going to get the guest on right now. Yawa himself, PSA welcomes Joel Ortiz. What's good, Joel?
Yawa, what's up, Yawa?
Yawa. What's poppin', Joel?
What's the dilly? How y'all feeling, man?
We doing good,
good
my G. Yo, off the rip, I want to tell you, my G, because I'm a old school nigga when it comes to hip-hop. I appreciate the project House Slippers, my G. I really do, and I mean that sincerely, my nigga. You know
Thank
what
you,
mean?
Man. Thank you, man. That means a lot to me, my brother.
Do me a favor. Can you drop a video for Q&A?
It's out.
Oh, it's out already?
It's out. Google it right now. I dropped it about a week ago. 3 million views. Crazy. Crazy
Ooh.
Love on it.
I'm slipping. I need to watch that video then. That's my joint. Cat and Dreams, I bump that shit on a regular basis on iPod.
It's so hard to keep up with so much that's going on with this internet ever, man. Anytime you turn around, man, the shit that was hot at 1 o'clock is done at 3.
Fact, though. Yo, Joel, how did you link up with the Heatmakers, though, my nigga? Because we haven't heard them cats since this set. How did that relationship come about?
You know what? I was working on House Slippers early on with Illmind, and he was in the studio. We was in the same building with the Heatmakers, so they was upstairs. So they got wind that I was in the vicinity. They came downstairs and was like, you know, we've always been fans, and you know, we would love for you to come upstairs, hear some shit. We know you're working on an album, and I was like, sure. So right after I finished doing the House Slippers record with Ill, I went upstairs, and man, I just liked them dudes, man, and I liked the music, and I just wanted this album to go off vibe, man, nothing else, man. So we just hit it off as cool people, and then you know they had some heat in the studio, and we took it from there.
That's what it is. Now you got you dropping House Slippers, Joey just dropped Love Lost, Royce doing joint with Preem, y'all did a Slaughterhouse with Premier. Y'all just killed the fucking Cypher that everybody's talking about right now, man. The Cypher, man. Once again, thank you for the Cypher, because all of y'all got busy, my G, for real.
Yeah, I mean, we just fans of the craft, man, to be honest with you. And, you know, I just feel like people wasn't too happy with the way all the other Cyphers went this year. You know, because that became the main focal point of, like, the hip-hop awards, like, you know, getting to them Cyphers, see who going to bring it or whatever. And it might have been one or two shining stars this year. But they just, you know, people felt like, you know, it was, we known to keep it fresh. That's what we do. So, you know, it was M's idea. Let's just all rock out. We was like, all right, cool.
Now when I saw it and it said 18 minutes or 20 minutes, I was like, oh, man, this is about to be crazy. I mean, each of these dudes just rapping this long, man. And a cappella, Joel, a cappella. Ugh.
Yeah.
It was nice, man.
Yeah, man. You know, a cappella is where you do all the shining. You know what I'm saying? There's no big old production to hide your mediocre rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
you gotta be that shining light. So, you know, like, you know, we take pride, like I said before, we take pride in saying something with these voices we have, and I think we did that well.
Now, with Eminem, me and Timbo, my bro right here, Joel, we was going back and forth, because we dissected you guys' cipher, and Timbo asked me a question. He said to me, yo, Dre, do you think Eminem's verse was battle bars, and do you think he was directing it to the people, to the masses, like, yo, motherfuckers, if I wanted to come in and wash you motherfuckers in this battle world, I would come in and still show you my jump is still wet.
I don't think M gives a shit about nobody.
I agree with that.
I'm being completely honest. Like, when he has nothing to prove to anybody, my brother. Like, I think that was him having fun. You know what I'm saying? And being the best that he could be. He's just Eminem, man. And he flexed rap muscle. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you know, just for himself. Like, every now and again, I think, you know, I do the same thing sometimes where, you know, I just have one of those spurs where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to rhyme for 150 bars and give it to the internet. But it's for me. It's for me to just be like, yeah, it's still in there. It's like, you know, I got a lady now. But every now and then when I be out with the boys, I look around, but I'm just looking at the men. I ain't going to put it no more. You know what I mean? So it's just to see if you still got it. You know what I'm saying? So he
word.
that was a forum and a stage for him to be like, yeah, I'm still on. Like, don't forget now.
Hey, Joel, do you think that's what's kind of missing in music right now? Everyone's just so caught in doing just one thing. No one wants to kind of branch out and prove that they can do others. You know, especially lyrically and music wise.
I don't know if that's missing, because you do have your slaughterhouses, you have your M, you have your Shady Movement, so you can always find, you know, the beauty of the internet is you can always find the people you want to listen to, as long as they
have
music. But I think on a mainstream level, yes, what's being pushed on radio, yes, like, and I just feel like maybe it should just be more balanced. That's all. Like, let these kids have a choice of what they want to be a fan of. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, let them figure out if they want to do trap music or bounce music or dance music, or if they want to write hard bars, or if they want to be honest, if they want to do move music like Joe, they want to be raw like someone like me, they want to be technical like a Kendrick, or however, just let it spread out. Like, give the kids a chance to pick what they like.
Like for instance, I want to jump on what you just said, Joel. A cat like from where you're from Brooklyn, Bobby Shmurda. You know what I'm saying? For me, I'm going to keep it real. Lyrically, that's not what I'm trying to get from Bobby Shmurda. I appreciate the young energy that him and Roddy Rebel are doing. A brother like yourself, when you're so bar heavy, do you appreciate that young energy, or you're like, yo, man, I'm just bars and that's all I give a fuck about?
No. I definitely appreciate energy itself. Speaking of like Bobby Shmurda and Rowdy Rebel, like I think what they doing is fantastic, because one, they are a movement, and I feel like New York and East Coast rap was at its highest point when they were movements. When I remember being a little kid, you know, getting in the club because I was carrying Cypher Sounds crates, and you know, seeing 55 Bad Boy record jackets and Black Rob, you know, premiering Whoa. You know what I'm saying? And what that felt like. I remember being in Harlem and watching 150 motorcycles, some three-wheelers, some four-wheelers, and Rough Rider vests, and just being like, oh, shit, that's Rough Rider. You know what I'm saying? I remember when New York had movements, and it was and they were real, and they was on a street level. And then came the club, and then came the radio. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was first you had to be street verified, and you hit that pavement, and then everybody else respected it, and that's how it won. And I feel like that them GS9 kids are doing the same thing. Like, if you look at that video, man, that Hot Niggas video, man, for the first time in a long time, it looked like a New York kid was having fun on a New York block doing New York shit.
Or,
you know what I'm saying? Like, them niggas ain't know what they was doing at that point. That record is for him and his crew. It just so happened that the whole world started partying with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people that he make references on that. I don't know who he's talking about. Free this guy. The video feels like it was one of his mans that came out with a camera. These niggas is getting lit on the block. It's a bunch of niggas from their neighborhood, and that's it. And it felt like the first time when I saw Juvie in them, and I went, oh, shit, that's New Orleans? Like, you know what I'm saying? So I admire what I like what they doing, man. I stand behind that shit. Everything ain't gotta be bars, man. You ain't gotta that ain't gotta be what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like they partying, man. They some kids in Flatbush, Brooklyn, doing what they do right now. And you gotta tip your hat to them. And that's just that.
But Joel, let me ask you a question. Did they sign a deal too quick though? Because like a brother like Troy Ave, who's still selling records and still got a movement going on, BSB, he's still independent. I felt, as a hip-hop fan, like maybe Schmurd and the boys should have not signed a deal quick. Am I wrong in that kind of thinking, or?
I don't know if they, I guess we'll figure out if they made the right decision in the things in the days to come. But I do know, they're young. And I do know, you know, they're probably poverty-stricken. And I do know that's probably the most amount of money that was waived in them young boys' face ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be like, yeah, man, I know you could change my life and all, but you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, like,
yeah.
You know, this is opportunity. That I don't think they looked at the major deal as a major deal. I think they looked at it as an opportunity to get out their neighborhood. And they probably made that decision based solely on that. They're too young and too new to the business to even know the business, in my opinion. But they're
right.
Turning it out, and Sean Money couldn't have been a better place for them, man, because shout out to Sean Money. He's one of the pioneers, man, that gets that rough music, you know, for those who ain't know, like he was instrumental in early 50 Cent, like, you know, that
Game.
Like,
if anybody could
take they movement and add a vision to it and a sound, it's Sean Money. So I think they made, if they was going major, they made the move. Like, they made the move with the right guy. Now, you know, I don't know if Indy would have been able, I don't know. Just like they don't know. But I'm sure that they're excited, and I wish them the best.
Word. Thanks,
Joel, I want to ask you this question. Recently, there was an interview that came out that was, it was Big Daddy Kane said he would battle Rakim. $500,000. He'll do this battle that was supposed to happen, what, 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah, 1989 and shit. That's what happened.
89. What, would you be interested in seeing that now? What do you think of that whole thing?
Yo, you know what's so crazy? Because I feel like Big Daddy Kane and Rakim are two of the hip-hop pioneers that can still rhyme. Like,
right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, there's not too many of the, you know, people from that era that could still that still have bars, and both of those guys can still rhyme. Just because I know what it is, and I know why I'm even able to rap is because of people like that. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. I think it would be fun. I think it would.
In 2014, though, Joel. In 2014, Reggie.
You damn right. I think these little, I think these young dudes need to figure out. I think they need to do their history, man. I think they need to do their research and know who these people are. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Joel, I agree totally when you say that the young generation today need to do their history when it comes to old school hip hop, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. I totally agree. But in the battle realm, y'all, I'm looking like, yo, I came up listening to Rakim. I came up Kane. KRS, Slicker, that's the era I came up under. But in 2014, do I want to see Kane and Rakim battle, my nigga? I don't know if I'm too keen on I want to see that. I wasn't even too keen on Fredro and Keith Murray. And I fucked with his squad, and I fucked with Onyx. Like, just like, I don't know. Like, you, Buttons, your era now, even though y'all came from that era, I'd rather see y'all than the 80s, nigga. I don't want to sound ignorant when I say that, but I don't know, my nigga.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Like, I hold those two names very, very, very high. Like,
okay.
Big Daddy Kane and Rakim. For so many years, they coexisted, and it was a 50-50 split on who people thought was better.
That's real.
Forever, you had all the Big Daddy Kane saying, yo, I like Rakim, but yo, Kane? And then you had yo, Kane is cool, but the R? Like, for so long, and no one has edged anybody. And I just think that it would make, I mean, evidently, like, you know, 500,000 and like a pay-per-view thing, nah. But like, maybe live at High Line Ballroom, like, you know what I'm saying, like a venue, like just for the heads who care about it, like me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, like just for somebody that's being there solely to be like, oh shit, You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna lie. I think a lot of people would be there too. A lot of people in the industry.
I agree with that.
That are the reason.
Dog, if that shit announced like, yo, Best Buy Theater, all versus Kane. Say good night in New York. Say good night. I don't care what. And you're gonna have older niggas telling young niggas, I got you a ticket.
Yeah.
You need to come see this.
Word.
Yeah.
Facts, though. Yeah.
That'd be dope.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool on the Fred O'Keefe Murray, though.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, though,
yeah.
For real. So, but let me ask you a question, Joel. Is it me or if Kane and Rock can battle, I would lean towards Kane. Even though Rock might be more lyrical than Kane, battle rhymes, if we talk about battles and doing that kind of thing, I would lean towards Kane. What about yourself?
I would lean towards Kane, not because of lyric, because of showmanship.
Okay.
Performance and showmanship, yeah.
Yeah, performance. Kane is a little bit more of a showman, in my opinion. That's no knock to the R, but I've seen them both perform.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
You know, Kane is working. It's cardio up there for Kane. You know, the R's records are more of a smooth, I'm tough, I'm the R, so he ain't got to do so much. It's, you know, the records is just coming on and they going off the way they need to be. But the Kane is dancing. Kane is delivering.
Yeah, well, Scoop and Scrappy, Joel. Scoop and Scrappy got to come out there and help him out.
look, this is proving it, though. Because we started talking about Kane and R battling 7 minutes ago, and we're still talking about it.
Right.
This is telling me that it would be a big deal.
Yeah.
This is true, right?
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. We had Loaded Lux on here last week, right? And the person that he said that he would want to battle was you.
Yo, I just got a text from somebody with a retarded offer to battle him. Like literally 15 minutes ago.
Wow.
And I appreciate that. That means that he holds me, high as far as like. I wonder why he would want that though.
I think just on a respectfully MC level, and he know that you're an MC's MC. You know what I mean? Like, when you think of Joel, you know rhymes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know these niggas. Now, to me, you're getting your go-man on, given the story and this, that, and the third. But you can get gutter and rub your shoulders with the best of them, too, and shit. You know what I mean? So,
You think that would be a good one?
I think it would. I either think it would be that, or me and Dre have talked about this, too. It would be you versus Charlie Clips.
That's what I
want to
see. Right there with
Simbo
said, Joel.
Let me ask you something, D. I feel like you think Charlie Clips is better than Lux at the moment?
Yes, I do.
A better battler, you're saying?
Yes,
I do. This is what I think. I think lyrically, like, Lux is on a different level, like, lyrically. But when it comes to that stage and the climate of how battle rap is now in this era, Joel, I got to say Clips right now is top dog.
I really think Charlie Clips is really good. I think Lux is fantastic too. I think, you know, you're talking about two of the elite when you mention both of them. I think on any given night, either one of them could get the other guy though.
Of course.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If we're talking about A game Clips and A game Lux with no mistakes, I don't know who.
Yeah.
I don't know who wins. They're both that good in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a different kind of guy though, guys. I'm definitely different, man. You know why I say I'm different? Because I woke up one morning and heard Kendrick's Control verse, right? And it was about 9 o'clock, and I had my freestyle out at about 12 o'clock. And people responded to it crazy, right? That was just me reacting to something that I disagree with. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck I'd come up with fucking 2 months to prepare. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being dead serious. Like, these kids, you know, these guys, they do research. They find out dirt. They do all types of shit. Like, if I got a chance to, like, build three rhymes for three rounds for 3 months, I don't even know what I'd say. There wouldn't be anything. I ain't gonna sound like that nigga. Whatever, man. I would be good. I'd be good at that shit because I'm a showman myself, and I'm funny. I got all the elements of battle rap in me. I mean, because my whole career began on the corner anyway. You know, and in my neighborhood, you know, being the best rhymer I could be, and my whole fucking career has been a battle. You know, the niggas were trying to put me in Latin rap venues for the first fucking half of my career, and then after they got me out of the Latin rap venues, then it was just I ain't gonna front. Sun is nice for a Puerto Rican, and then after that shit, you know, it's just I rapped with my back against the wall my entire fucking career. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like this probably motherfucking like I could think of a joint called Battle Cry that niggas probably couldn't hang with at the moment now. And that was like 2009. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I will tell you this, though. I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that arena. And if I did do it, if I did battle, it wouldn't be for the payday. It would be because I felt like doing that shit. It wouldn't be for nobody else but me. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it would be something else just to put that notch under my belt. Like, and, I did that, too.
Do you get the urge? Are you at all close to thinking like,
to be honest with you, man, I'm much more of a fan of it than a participant, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to – I don't know, man. Like, I'd have to really sit and think about that shit, like, about doing it itself because, like, I'm so much more of like, oh, shit, you heard what he said? Like, I just like them. I like what they doing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's just being real. Anybody who know me know I wouldn't duck a soul. Like, it wouldn't be because in any fucking shape, way, or fashion do I think I'd lose. But it would just be like, yo, man, I don't feel like it, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, I am honored, man, like that, you know, Lux said out of everybody he'd want to battle me. That's fresh, man.
You know, you said you watch battles. Is there anybody in particular you like? Maybe I don't want to say a top three, but guys that, you know, stands out to you a lot when you watch their battles, or a certain battle in particular that you might watch one or two, three times?
I watched Charlie Clips' Tay Rock Part 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Tay Rock edged him.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Because the initial time I watched it, I was like, man, niggas, you know, like, this guy Clips, man, like, he caught him again, and then I watched it again, and then as I started breaking it down, I think Tay Rock had more bars.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple more bars in him.
Do you go off the feeling, or do you kind of score it your own way, or do you go like, all right, you know, you re-listen to the round, I fuck with Clips more.
Now, you know what it is, man? It's tough to judge. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because you can't really say, yo, if you go by rounds and he had this much and this round, this whatever, boom, boom, boom. So I give round one and two to Sun, but Sun came through. You can't do that because a nigga could be winning a whole fucking fight and get knocked out. So you gotta figure out what's valid. What could you actually say was not just a good round, but a knockout? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's hard. Like, because in boxing or MMA or whatever, a knockout is a knockout. Duke is out. That's it. And, you know, a nigga would lose it, winning the first two rounds, and then we see it. So you call it like you see it. But on this, it's just straight. It really is opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is very, very opinionated. So it's tough to see who. It's tough to pick out that winner, man. I'm being honest. It's tough, man. But those are what make battles good, though. You know?
Yeah. The debatables are the best ones. Yeah.
Say it again?
The debatables are the best ones, especially, you know, the two ones that can go back and forth.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was surprised that at Clips T-Rex. Like, I thought T-Rex. I heard, but you know, I heard he had a lot on his mind during that morning. You
what,
know, someone
Joel,
had,
would you battle in that position, or if something, God forbid, something was to happen to someone in your family, you know what I'm saying, and they passed away in that event, and you had to perform that particular day or evening, would you still perform?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, especially, you need all of your mind during a battle, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel. You need all of it. You got, I mean, you got, you're storing a whole bunch of shit in your mind, and you got to hold on to it until it's your turn, and you got to absorb what the other person is giving you. This is too much. You need too much of your mind, man. It would have been some mad people, but they'd have got over it. I'd have took a rain check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not even just for you, just for the people that want you to come out and be your best, you know. I just know I couldn't be my best under those circumstances. That's all.
Yeah.
I've canceled shows for less, my brother. You know what I'm saying? I canceled shows for less. You get some angry people, you get some ticket refunds. You know, they're mad for a couple of days, then it goes away, and then they at your next show, and then they love you again. You know what I'm saying?
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
It's all good. I mean, I definitely don't make a habit out of it. You know, like, I'm not that guy. But I'm just saying, right. Like, you know, there's been other reasons. Like, you know, I can't go out tonight. I can't do it. You know, this is what we do. This is what we do for a living. But this is not what you want to do every single fucking day, believe me.
Must be strenuous. Yo, let me ask you a question. You're a Jets fan like myself, right?
I hate saying it, but yes.
I know, Joel. I know, my nigga. I feel you, my brother. I feel you. But I see you on Twitter before a couple times. Bro, is it safe to say Rex Ryan is getting the boot about it after the season? Because let's be real, Joel. Is it setting this man up to fail? What's your take on our Jets, man?
I think they I don't think they set him up to fail. I think they left him. They couldn't quite fire him. Not this year. They couldn't fire him because they bring in something new. They had to see what happened with the new boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's see what's what. You know what I'm saying? I do think that he may have let Geno get one more game than I think he needed to play before he made the executive decision to bring in Michael Vick. But I do think this. I do think they don't fully let Rex Ryan go. I think he'll be demoted to defensive coordinator, and they'll bring him
in. Joe, his ego alone. Can you imagine being demoted? And that's a demotion. You think his ego alone? It's Rex Ryan we talking about. There'll be a coaching vacancy here after the season. I'm pretty sure if Rex Ryan gets fired, he'll get a job like tomorrow. I can't see him going to defensive coordinator and being on the same team.
I think he likes New York, though. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I think he likes New York. I think he became a New Yorker. I think he misses being a defensive coordinator too. Like, I think you know, there's a level of responsibility that comes with being a head coach that he loved him in the beginning, liked in the middle, but is starting to dislike in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think they'll offer him that. Hopefully he'll take that. I think he's a defensive genius. I've always thought that. I think he could put mediocre people in the right mind frame and in the right places in the field and make them play like all pros. So, I think, I mean, if he stayed and became defensive coordinator, I'd be a happy camper. I would be.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, though. As Jets fans, we just put emphasis on the defensive side. I thought Rex, that's his forte, the defense. His father came up under that, Buddy Ryan, with the Eagles. But this man never focused on the offensive at all. He never, like Mark Sanchez, for instance, didn't never surrounded Mark Sanchez with great offensive weapons. Now you see Mark Sanchez and Philadelphia Eagles, and he's repping, you know.
Well, Mark Sanchez is a whole different story, to be honest with you. Like Mark Sanchez was coming out onto the field in the Meadowlands already defeated in his mind, bro. Like,
yeah, that's real.
Too much stuff happened back to back to back. You know what I'm saying? And it took a toll on him. Like, it's like, you know, like if any one of us, like, when you had a bad ankle sprain or some shit, and then you go play ball, you don't quite want to fucking jump and clap no more. You'd be like, man, if I come down wrong, man. Like, he played that way. Like, yo, I don't want to. He was thinking. He was doing too much thinking on the field in New York. So now he comes into a situation where it's just like, we got a winning record, and all they want me to do is run the playbook and complete passes. Cool. Like, whereas in New York, man, it was like, everything's on you, Mark. Come on. The first 2 years we went to the AFC Championship. Now what? Oh, man, you're crumbling. Oh, man, you threw a pick. Oh, man, you missed the receiver. It was just so much on Mark Sanchez. Now it's just like they just telling the dude to go in there and follow a playbook. He always had a strong arm. He's always been pretty smart as a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, he can get outside of the pocket. So he's gonna look good. And I told – and you know what's crazy? I told people when Nick Foles got hurt, careful, Mr. Foles.
Yeah.
That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
Careful, right. Mr. Foles, because you have a backup that knows he's a starter, and if he gets if he starts getting into the groove and he has, it's gonna be tough to just be, it could be a Kaepernick Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Real talk.
I agree with that.
But as a Jet fan, you do agree Geno's not our guy, right?
Nah, he's not our guy. Fuck out of here. Sorry, he's not our guy. Nope.
He's far from our guy.
Please talk about something else. This is the question me and Joel.
Yo, let's leave it on a better note though. Perfect world. You ready?
All right.
Geno hits the bench or whatever. You know, I don't know whatever we end up doing with Geno. Vic is still there. He ends up being benched because the Browns announced Hoyer as their guy. Manziel is upset. We bring Manziel over, develop Johnny Manziel as a New York Jet. He turns into a fucking Jim McMahon over here. And then we go get Mike Holmgren.
Ooh. That's wow, you just dropped a bombshell here on PSN Radio. I don't know for all that, but this is the Jets we're talking about, Joel, and you and I both know, I don't want to say we curse like the Red Sox, but damn, I mean, we just
But you got to admit, though, head coach Mike Holmgren, you know, defensive coordinator Rex Ryan, a young Manziel, unafraid to take chances, and Chris Ivory, what he became with that defense? We start looking like something. I guarantee it. And that Manziel jersey will fly off them fucking shelves.
It would.
I'd be at a few games expecting to win. That's what I'm saying.
I'll feel you.
We need to shake it up. That's all.
I got one more question I want to get. Then I want to get into the music. I want to get your thoughts really quick on this Cassidy versus Disaster battle coming up.
Okay, what's my thoughts?
What are your thoughts on it? Do you have any outcomes or predictions on how it will go?
I have no clue, man. I have no clue. I actually debated on, like, flying out to go see that. And Disaster is I got a chance to be around Disaster when we were filming Total Slaughter. Yeah, that dude is crazy, bro. I don't know what he got up his sleeve, but he's crazy, bro. And that makes this interesting because Cassidy is crazy too, bro. And he still has bars, man. He still has bars. I think it's going to be better than people think, though. I think people got – because a lot of people got Disaster, man, like just flat out, you know, handling the task.
I got Disaster winning, Joel. I can't front. I mean, both of us do, I think. We both do.
Yep.
But do y'all agree that a good showing from Cassidy is a win in itself?
In a perfect world, if you want to be politically correct, yes, but these savages of us fans, we just go by W's and L's. And I think a lot of people, they anxious to see what Cassidy going to do because he's one of the brothers that we've all asked to see him battle. But Disaster is, to me, the favorite going into the battle, I think. I think the battle rap community is like, you know what, Disaster? No shade to the industry, but we might not like you that much, but we riding with you because you're going against the industry, dude. That's the vibe I get.
So Cassidy's an industry dude?
Yes. Even though he came from the battle circuit.
Let me ask you a question then. So if Lux battled me, it would be Lux going against the industry dude?
Yes, Joel. Yes.
Hell fucking no. Hell
fucking no. Joel, you're in the industry, my G. You are hell out of
here. Let me give you a fucking jewel right
Uh-oh.
Now.
Let's go.
I have to make sure I ask y'all that. Let me give y'all a jewel right now.
All
right. 90 fucking 5% of them rap niggas want to be in the industry. Don't get it fucking fucked up. They just started owning and loving this battle shit because it finally started paying bills for them. But they all do fucking mixtapes, they all take label meetings, and they all wish they had a fucking record deal. So, nigga, it's MC versus MC if I step in there. I just happen to fucking eat a bit more.
Ooh. Talk about it.
Are you crazy? And yo, listen. Yo, the minute that anybody steps into that ring, it's MC versus MC. That's what battles are. I don't give a fuck if somebody's in the pros and somebody's in college. Nigga, we playing football together. Let's go.
But, Joel, we in a different country, my G. I feel what you're saying, but let's be real. You are, yes, I know you from battle rock. I know what you could do. A lot of people know what you could do, but in the battle rock world, especially how big it is now, these fans are always going to look at anybody, whether it's you, whether it's Joey, whether it's Crook, whether it's Royce, whether it's M, whether it's Meek or Jada or Banks or whoever out here, or Sky Zoo, they're going to look at you guys as industry dudes coming into their world.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Well, then, they're using the word industry loosely. That shit is symbolic. That shit is symbolic to successful, bro.
Okay.
You understand, like, I'm not comfortable with being called industry, especially since I never, ever, ever was an industry person. So I got record deals for being a nigga that dissed the industry.
Oh.
That makes sense. For being a dude that was always against the machine. You know what I'm saying? For being a dude that was like, man, for fuck what's on radio. Like, I got checks for that reason. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not comfortable with being called industry. If you want to say a successful signed artist is coming into the ring to battle, a pro battler, I'll accept that. But you ain't gonna tell me a battle rapper's going against the industry when you're talking about me. You know what I'm saying? Whew. Like, I'm just winning, man. I'm just winning.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that. All right,
there's a difference, man. There's a difference, man. Y'all don't see me rhyming on these fucking trap beats, doing repetitive choruses, trying to catch club records. I ain't into that, nigga. I don't do that.
My nigga, I was just bumping the best of Primo when he was killing every Primo beat, my G. Come on, man. I know what
you
do, my
guy. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, me versus anybody, man. Just know it wouldn't be. I'm not the industry guy, man. That's not what I do, man. That's not who I am, man. I mean, I still leave the studio and hang it on a project bench. Like, I ain't that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that guy. So, you know,
I think
some of these other guys.
I think you're right when you're saying it's used loosely. You know, I think everybody refers to, in the battle world, industry means anybody not in the battle world. Doesn't matter what else
you're
doing. Anybody
I hear you. But the word industry is big. The word industry is big. And it's short for music industry, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And now, is it safe to say that battle rap has become a part of the music industry?
Yes.
I don't think that a lot of, maybe you, Joel, and a couple of the Slaughterhouse camp, but I don't think a lot of other guys in the industry take these guys serious or respect their craft. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but a lot of you do, but a lot of you don't.
Listen, man.
If forming our own reality battle rap series on Fuse TV is in respect for that crap, I don't know what it is.
Of course. No, yeah. not you, Joel. I'm saying some of your peers. That's all. Not you. Some of your peers.
All right, so guess what? Since I'm one of those guys, I ain't industry.
All right, Joel Ortiz is officially not industry. I agree with that.
We're not going to ever say that again, Joel.
We will never ever make that mistake ever, Joel. You're right. You're not industry, my G.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Because to be honest with you, man, I associate that word with, like, sellout niggas who ain't quite.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, I can tell the way you take it that way, Joel. You took it in a negative connotation, right?
Yeah, because like I'm in the streets, mm-hmm. and niggas in the barbershop be like, man, that nigga actually.
Oh,
industry.
Like, nah. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
All right, that is officially not Joel. Yo, what are you working on right now, Joel? You're in the studio. What are you working on?
Working on some industry shit, man. Fuck.
Oh man!
To be honest with you, right now I'm putting together a free EP. I'm gonna try to release it for the holidays. Strictly for Facebook, like for my
okay.
Facebook. Like with the emergence of Twitter and Instagram, man, I haven't been on my Facebook, so I want to do something to excite my Facebook crowd, and so I'm gonna do a free EP for the holidays.
Dope.
Okay.
Word.
Dope.
I just recorded one of the tracks today. Crazy.
Okay, cool.
And that's gonna be
do you have a title for it?
Say it again.
Do you have a title for
I just wanted to get the music together first before I talk about the title.
Cool.
That's probably the least important part to me right now.
Beautiful. That's dope for the holidays, man. That's what we need. And upcoming Slaughterhouse Music, I know, was
on
the way.
Definitely. I mean, you got the Shady 15th anniversary.
Coming up November.
I'll be releasing other videos besides Q&A from House Flippers. They're just they're on the editing table now. I'm coming out of this year strong mm-hmm. and setting up for next year. You know.
Are you still on penalty?
Oh no, that was a one off.
That's a one off. All right.
Yeah, that was a one off independent deal with Neil Levine and the guys over at Penalty. If anybody knows me, man, they know I don't like to be committed for too long, bro. I ain't one of them industry niggas.
Joel,
I gotta make my round.
This is part of the industry segment of this show. This is a breakdown of that shit.
Yeah, man.
Joel getting mad. Are you guys going to be doing more cyphers? I got to ask that on behalf of our fans, first of all, Matt. Is this going to be a regular thing? Because it should be.
It should be, bro, for real. Real talk.
Really, real shit.
Thank you, man. I don't see us not doing any more, like, you know, saying, nah, we're not doing no more. I could see more cyphers in the future. I mean, every time we do one, man, good things happen. So, you know, I want to keep doing things that make good things happen. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll do that again. Probably after that one, they'll probably back want us on an award show again to do it. Like, because I don't think – I mean, there's some cyphers after hours, but I don't think numbers quite like ours.
Not at all.
And I'm not being biased. I really – you know, I'm saying from a fan perspective, I really, really, really mean that. So,
I agree.
I'm happy everybody likes this one, I think we'll do some more. I think it'll be something that people would anticipate every time we announce.
Of course. Listen, man. Y'all are from the era. You, Royce, Joey, Cook, y'all are from the era where you had to be nice. It's not now where the fucking your pants fucking skinny jean era and shit. You had to be nice. When these brothers was rapping, like, you couldn't come up with no fucking dumb shit. You get laughed at. You couldn't bite nobody's bars. You couldn't take nigga. You couldn't do none of this shit that's going on now. My bad, Joel. I started going to tangent because I fucking get mad at hip hop sometimes, my G.
Nah, that's all good. You still gotta be nice. Like, I don't know if you noticed, man, but it'd be dudes that come around for one summer and then you don't hear them no more. So, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Like, this is the era where you can fuck around and catch one. But can you keep one? That's what being nice is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, you still, I mean, you got somebody like Nas that just re-released Illmatic. That's from being nice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then you got people that were shaking the club last summer that's, you know, putting, you know, lifting boxes in Target right now. So,
yeah.
You know, you still got to be nice to get that following. You got these dudes with these, that land these big club records, and they have no following, and they announce a show somewhere, and it's 17 kids there. And here you are with, you know, a top 40 record, and nobody's coming to check you because nobody knows you. You know, these people, they stop doing artist development. That's the problem. Like, you know, so many people, and a song is bigger than them. Like, you could say the melody of their song. Like, you know that Blase Blah song? I forgot who sing it, but it's tough, right? Like, it never used to be like that. It used to be like, yo, you heard?
That's the industry in a nutshell right now.
Yeah. So
that is the industry in a nutshell.
MCing, man, is still in the forefront, man. You know, because an MC can always get a crowd, bro. He can, you know.
Yeah.
Look at. We just talked about the start of the interview. We talked about Kane versus Rakim, and we literally talked for 8 minutes about what that would be and how they would still draw a crowd. That's not from being one hit wonders. That's from being MCs. That's from being nice. You know, people.
Yeah.
There's people on the underground scene that don't even give a shit about radio. That's just nice, and they got a core following. People follow them around all around the place. You ain't gonna hear Immortal Technique. I bet you bring 1,000 kids out. I bet you ain't gonna hear no new joint from Tech N9ne or Hot 97. I bet you bring 2,000 kids out.
Word.
This is that exists, bro. That literally exists. I've been on tour with these brothers. I've seen it firsthand. Like, oh shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, yes, you might catch your little joint. And you might land your little single deal, and they might put some industry money behind you, and then you can run around. And I just hope, like hell, that you invest your money, because good luck after that.
No, that's
so,
fact. That's fact.
So let me ask you, by Dr. Dre, since we're not going to get a Dr. Dre detox album, I'm not even old. Listen, Dr. Dre and Jay Electronica, I gave up on the albums, all right? With that being said, tell Dr. Dre to give you those beats, the whole slaughterhouse, the rest of the beats for Detox that he's not going to release, and just give it to y'all and let y'all do magic, man. What's good?
I can't find Dre right now.
Got it.
He's not the easiest guy to catch up with at the moment. So,
I can imagine.
I mean, good Lord, man, has that man did some fantastic things with his career and his brand, bro. Like, you got to tip your hat to somebody like that. I mean, yo, Detox would just be a bonus to what he's just done and is still doing. And, yo, man, that dude, it's just mogul. He's just a figure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, and he's such a humble guy and a nice dude, and I see him every now and then, and it's just, you know, there's certain energy that come off him, and you know why he's winning. And
right.
you know, I always have a special place for that dude because he gave me my first record deal. You know what I'm saying? So that'll never leave me. You know, here I was a fat Puerto Rican kid from Brooklyn trying to get record deals in New York and getting passed on, and I get a phone call from LA and get a record deal. Like, you know, I can't even express what that means to me. So Dr. Dre is everything to me. He always will be. But you know, dogs, like, you talk about a businessman. it's just amazing. But I would love to hear what his beats sound like at the moment. Like, with that high that he's on, I don't even know, man. Like, he must be working off of platinum drum machines right now.
I see.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what to say, man. But I tell you one thing, man. He told me when Slaughterhouse and M was at the Grammys, and I caught back up to him. He said, "Yo, man, listen, man. You know, we parted ways in 07, and here you are back on the squad. That's hard work and skill, and I commend that. And that shit went a long way with me. So." When I was shook to give him a call and asked to leave, you know, he validated my decision when I bumped back into him. You know what I'm saying? And that right there, man, is just priceless for me. So don't call me no industry nigga, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Joel, yeah. Yo, man, we really appreciate it. I feel like we could just talk for like 2 hours, man. I know you got shit to do.
Well, at the very worst, if this music shit don't pan out, I got a hosting job, right, y'all?
You out there, bro.
I'm coming over, man. Don't come. Yo, listen, man, I'm a personality, man. Don't play with me. I battle personalities.
We're not going industry over here, too. We're not going industry. Just come on over. Buddy. All right.
Oh,
I ain't no industry host, nigga. I ain't no industry host.
Right.
Oh, you already know. Joel Ortiz, 15th anniversary Shady compilation album comes out November 24th. Slaughterhouse is on it. Mr. Yao,
yeah, man.
Joel.
Make sure y'all pick that up, man. Shady 15th anniversary, November 24th. House Slipper still available on iTunes, Google Play, in stores. Yeah, man, coming to a stage near you, man. Yawa.
You already, man, ready, Joel. Man. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Salute, Joel.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Man, salute to God. Shit, man.
Joel. Word. Salute to motherfucking Joel Ortiz, man. Good dude,
that's
man.
The
dude. Good
dude. Yeah, man. Gold, yeah. Salute to Joel, man. Shady 15th anniversary, all that shit's coming up. That Cypher, he killed it. They all fucking killed it, man. We're going to upload this. I know all you fans. Salute everybody that tuned in. I know this was short. It was a segment that we were doing. You do not want to miss what we got coming up, though. This Sunday, we have two guests coming on. Dre, who we got?
We got your boy the Brooklyn Goon himself, motherfucking Mass Hopper. We gonna chop it up with Hopper, and then we go to Baltimore with the homie Tay Rock, man. So y'all already know what it is, man. Sunday, me and Timbo, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You already know, man. PSA Radio. You already.
Yeah, man. Don't fucking miss that Sunday. You already know what the fuck this is, man. It's PSA Radio. Me and my motherfucking brother Dre. What's good? Let's get it.
Out.